mercy, Mr. Attitude, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Rap with myself, Eric Wiltshire. Helping me out with the extra vocals this week, Rachel Branston, Lee Banks and Henry O'Donovan. Because I can't talk too much because it's actually hurting now. It really is.
You should really stop, Uncle. You should just let us do it.
Yeah.
All right.
Because you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to end up in hospital and I can't have that.
Why?
No. Because you're gone.
Oh, I can't visit you.
Oh, I see. Anyway, we move on. I shall shut up then. We move on because an RAF Typhoon pilot has told a Latvian cargo plane to get yourself sorted out, mate, as it went off track. And everywhere, do you want bonkers in the UK, RAF Coningsby in Lincolnshire? Because this plane went off in the wrong direction. What happened?
Well, I don't think really that Britain reacted badly in this. It's there was a plane from Latvia flying over Britain, a cargo plane. So it wasn't the sort of, you know, it wasn't a passenger flight where you would have had concern over that and found some cushion of safety. It was a cargo flight. So it wasn't really identified as something that was secure. And what it did, it made this incredible move in midair and went completely off its path, but so deliberately that it looked as if it was heading for something that could be a target, a potential target for terrorism. What actually happened is that RAF Typhoons flew alongside it, ordered it to come down, and threatened to shoot it down if it didn't. Well, as it turns out, everything was good. Everything was fine. It worked out fine. But it was potentially very, very dangerous. Something, you know, it's been described as potentially a new 9/11. But actually, what it proved is that our pilots and our RAF handled the situation impeccably.
Brilliant.
Do you know what else it proved?
What?
I've got to tell you, I was impressed by this because you know what else it proved? It proved undeniable restraint because, you know, planes can go over countries and just get shot out of the sky.
We know all about that, that's not
unusual.
Yeah, which is very close to the Australian heart, very clearly. But, Rach, we move on. Rach.
Yes.
Still love me, though, right?
Of course.
Without
that's
his teeth.
That's not the question, is
it? So, what, seat, Rachel, what happened here?
With what? Where are we up to?
Oh, that was a lovely piece of continuity that went straight down the tubes.
Do you want me to tell you?
No, I want Rachel to catch up.
All right, catch up, Rachel, you naughty girl.
Are you talking about the data? Are you talking about our data?
No, I'm talking about the man who abandoned his fiancée. You still love me, though, right?
See, what I love is the way that Rachel always reads the script.
Yeah.
Okay, right. You still love me, right? Oh, I know why I didn't see it, because the little top one wasn't highlighted.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Center.
That was my fault. Blame the producer.
Fault, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
When I put it in.
No, it did.
It was in 48 points.
I'm sure it was. Bless you.
Yeah.
Okay. This man just runs away from his fiancée after she showed up to their pre-wedding photo shoot wearing makeup that made her look like an elderly woman. Now, that's rude because he's an ageist, for starters.
Huh?
Oh, dear.
That's rude. He's ageist. It's like, if she had a like Benjamin Button situation going on and she looked, you know, really horrible. Henry, help me. Henry, help me. Help me.
Oh, dear. Not only did you do it really well, you're just busking it. And that's fine. And you covered it all up and it's fine. But who's Benjamin Button?
Okay. It was a movie out a few years ago, which.
He doesn't go to the movies, clearly.
I know who Benjamin Button is. I'm just checking to see if she does.
Our lovely Cate Blanchett and Brad Pitt were in the movie.
Exactly.
And he aged backwards, but he was really, really old to begin with. When he was quite young, he appeared to be very, very old. Now, this man's got a Benjamin Button complex, I believe. In another really bizarre reference, she had a Dorian Gray situation.
Oh,
so, you know, maybe that was about the photo shoot and the Dorian Gray thing and the, oh, my God, what's in the attic? What's in the attic? But either way, he shouldn't have run away. That's rude.
Nice.
Just because their appearance
is a publicity stunt, aren't they? What was it a publicity stunt for? Ugly old women.
I guess. Adult diapers. Incontinent stuff. I don't know.
All complaints to Lee G. Bank, Staffordshire, United Kingdom.
I didn't say the incontinent word.
It might have been for dentistry, and in which case they could have got Uncle Eric.
That's a cheap jibe.
That was below the jaw.
Yeah, keep them gumming.
keep them gumming. Yes, quite right. But I think this is terrible. But anyway, the groom he had a hissy fit, and he yelled abuse and hurled glasses on the ground before telling this woman. You know, you got to. I'm going blah blah blah, and ran away into the street. It's terrible. He's terrible. He's a cad.
But
it was only a joke, wasn't it?
It was only made.
Yes,
up.
Couldn't he
see the funny side? Say, oh, that was really funny, Doc. Yeah, and then just lap it off. Ah, silly
he's
boy.
Clearly not. He's very, 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 very all about the looks thing. I think that's really rude because eventually she's going to get old if he was going to marry her.
Well, we're going to move on, boys and girls, because I'm going to hand this one over to our Henry, who has a rant every now and again on Bondi Tunes, and I'm sure that he would be the revolutionary. So I think he's perfectly placed to talk about the anti-capitalist known as Russell Brand, who's now getting big city bankrolling to get his production company going.
Well, the question is he like Boris, who is an extremist right-wing lunatic, in my view?
Oh, he's lovely.
I'm sure he's lovely. This guy is running a very big city. Now, Russell Brand spent a lot of his time on British television saying, you know, don't go into politics, knock the system. And when he was asked this last week if he would go for mayor of London, he didn't say no.
Wick.
Yeah, this was dodgy. Wouldn't he be railing against that very notion? But because of the nature of, you know, what he's always saying that he is, and yet he didn't. And now to think that he's getting, he probably didn't say no because he's getting bankrolled by fat cats.
Yeah, that's right, the city bankers.
Dodgy.
Yeah, it's interesting because, look, let's face it, comedians getting into politics is probably not a good idea in the first place.
Loaded jokers anyway, aren't they?
Well, that's a good comment. The thing is,
thank you very much. That's very nice.
The thing is that he's a funny guy. I actually like this guy, but yeah, I don't want to see him being in politics. I don't think that he's prepared for it, and I think that he's playing this rather dangerous game with the whole politics of one of the most biggest and influential cities in the world, and I don't think he's got a hope in hell of getting in there. Quite frankly.
Yeah, but I don't think he's not actually going into politics, is he? This is all.
Well, it depends on whether you consider the mayor of London in politics. I personally think it is.
But like you say, he's not actually stood for being mayor of London. He's not actually stood for the county.
But my point is, he hasn't said no, and that is screaming from the rooftops that I haven't said no, and this is the important part of this.
That's being clever,
chaps,
and manipulating the situation.
Chaps, look at the bottom end of this story. The money was initially planned to finance a film called Happiness. Yeah. Now they reckon it's being called Brand the Movie. Hello, enter huge ego.
No, I think that's unfair. I think that's absolutely unfair. What you're taking is a bloke who actually, like Henry's just said, is extremely funny. He's probably one of the most out there comedians we've ever had. And now he's coming up into his late 30s, early 40s. He's started to radicalise his act, change his act, change the way he presents things. And the only way really to get a film produced is to have some sort of backing. So there's nothing wrong there. What he talks about politically, which is why it isn't politics, is an esoteric view, which I've expressed 1,000 times on this show, that there must be another way of financing the world other than the failing system that we have. And that really is what he's arguing. He's arguing an esoteric argument about what our possibilities are, and admits that he has no answers. That is not a man who is going into politics. That is a man who's using his fame to express a basic true view of society. Good on.
Well said. Well said. I like that. That's good.
Thank you very much. You're going to like him.
Oh, heck. We're going to carry on in the same vein. We'll go over to Rachel to start this one off. There's a new Australian data retention bill allegedly coming out.
Oh, is this
out.
About the data now? Is it the data now?
Yes, Rachel.
I'm ready now.
Excuse me, darling.
I'm ready
Excuse me.
Now.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me, darling. Excuse me. Data, dear.
Data.
Tomato.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, there's this new bill coming out which would grant law agencies access to Rachel's and Henry's metadata.
Oh.
You know what's funny about this is that nobody in the in our parliament can explain what metadata is, which is kind of funny. And our communications minister, Malcolm Turnbull, he said ASIO, which is our like our FBI or our CIA, I guess, he said that they have better things to do than clamped on people downloading Game of Thrones.
Right.
Which is kind of a really offhanded thing to say. But the whole thing, there's a bill gone into government, but they can't explain what metadata is. So
Let's ask Henry, because he does that for a living, kind of, in the day job, as it were. Could you do a peep? No, actually, I'll bring it down to a better lowest common denominator. Can you do a Lee explanation of metadata for me?
That's very kind of you. Thank you very much.
Metadata track. Now, I've had experts, I've watched experts on television trying to explain this, and even Wikipedia can't explain it properly.
Whoa,
metadata. Let me try and explain this. Metadata tracks where you've been, but not what you've seen. It tracks your IP address and even your MAC address. And I know that a lot of people don't even know what a MAC address is, although I know that you do.
Well, can we call it the postcode of your computer?
Yes.
That's
a good thing.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Now, the thing is, what's happened with this is, I'm not going to continue trying to explain this because no one else can do it. But the thing is, what they're able to do is track your IP address. They can track your activity. But what they're saying is that they can't necessarily see they can't read into the websites that you've seen. But of course they can.
Yes.
There's another thing about this. This current government has been trying to get this law get it passed for some 8 months, and they went through it. As Rachel mentioned, they fumbled all over the media with this because they couldn't explain metadata or metadata. And now they've got this through because this government seems to get everything through without it having to go to Parliament. We have a thing called a Senate, which is equivalent to the House of Lords in Australia, and everything must go through the Senate before it gets passed. Now, there's a crazy man called Clive Palmer who runs the Palmer United Party, known as PUP. The guy's a lunatic, and he's gone on the side of the ruling Liberal Party here, so they've got this through. So what it means is in a couple of months' time, everything that Rachel and I view on the net will be recorded for 2 years by the ISPs, that's the internet service providers. They will be required to record this and make it available to the government and ASIO at any time, which means that the ISPs will have to charge us as consumers more money. This is unheard of.
Ridiculous amounts of money now in Australia.
It's expensive here.
And the service is rubbish.
I agree. I can hear you. I think, Rachel.
Actually, can I just throw? I'm going to throw a top tip in for consumers here, because if you complain to somebody like Yahoo, who we are currently investigating, and they're not being very friendly towards us at all, you ask them a question and they ignore half of it. But if you complain to Yahoo, when you actually put the complaint in, when you look carefully at the message you get back, you will see at the bottom they've also taken the data from your browser to see where you were before. And they just nick it off you. This is just the way they work. And the fact is, when you're trying to complain about a Yahoo subscriber and you are not a Yahoo subscriber, they make you jump through flaming hoops to actually report it. And they go, oh, what you should do is this. And they, oh, I'm going to read them all out when it's finished. They sent me an email back. They told me if I didn't know how to sort out my email client, we should get in touch with somebody.
This is a funny thing, though.
What? Can he, Uncle Lee?
Well, he just strikes me like one of the bees in my bonnet for a decade has been the invasion of your privacy and how the internet steals you everything off you and uses things against you. And yet, you know, normally I'm shouted down, being said that I'm wrong, and it doesn't matter really if they do that information as long as you've not done anything naughty. And isn't that really the situation you're in? If you don't do anything naughty, Henry and Rachel, then nobody will be any the wiser about your life.
Trouble is,
well,
Lee,
I think
the
communication minister was actually trying to say, and the communication minister, I've got to say, is about the only member of our government that seems to make any kind of reasonable sense at any time. He's about the only one who's not completely out of his gourd. But he actually said today, and his point was, that the people getting concerned about the fact that they're doing illegal downloads and things like that needn't worry, because that's not the information they're looking for. No. That our police don't have time to be worried about that. They're looking for pedophiles and subversives and all that sort of stuff. So he said the exact same thing. He said, don't worry too much about that, because they haven't got any time to be worrying about you or worrying about bigger things.
And that's fair, isn't it?
I think it's stupid.
Hang on, guys.
Stupid to even come out with something like that. Go on, Henry.
Go on, then tell me why.
Hang on, this guy, Malcolm Turnbull, is in my letters here in Bondi. And as Rachel said, he's one of the most... He should be actually a Labour person, not a Liberal person, because he secretly is. And the thing about this is that, for sure, my concern, and I think Eric will probably agree with me on this, is if they get away with this, this will increase. This is their intention, is to get further and further into getting people's information. I don't think that I'm being extremist when I say that, but that's what I feel.
I don't think you are. No,
I don't either. But I tell you a fact of life, and I'm not going to tell you how to, but... again, because of what Henry and I do for the day job, as it were, if I wanted to kid your average politician, and I will in actual fact say your average policeman, not the guys that are writing these special forces, but the average policeman, that I was sending them an email right now, this second, from Australia, it's too easy. And the fact is that just by using this technology that they're talking about now... is not going to, the reason I'm upset, or was upset, is that the people who they're trying to catch will know exactly how not to get caught.
They're always five steps ahead. Everybody, all those people are. All the people who are doing naughty things are always five steps ahead.
Exactly.
And they always will be.
Exactly. So what's...
Oh, shouldn't the question be then, what do they want this information for? If it's not for, if it's fallible as security information and for the defence of the realm, what do they want it for?
Well, that's the answer.
It's for commercial reasons.
Come on, Australian government, fess up and tell us what you want it for. That's the easy way.
Commercial reasons.
They don't tell you anything about anything. They've got people held hostage on the islands. They're not going to tell you about that either.
Well, anyway, if you think the Australian government's stupid... You've got...
I do.
No, they are beautiful. They are wonderful, serene characters. All I can tell you is, compare Australia with Scotland. And this week, Lee, Scotland came out with the all-new Blow Your Nose Guide for druggies.
It's more like Blow Your Mind. I'll tell you, honestly, I think this is... I have had my dalliances with all the worldly things that are there, all the things that make me a Dionysian figure. I have dallied.
I believe you.
And the one thing I would never, ever do is explain to a child about how to use nefarious soporifics. I would never explain to them. I might explain the benefits of using them as opposed to the negatives of using them, but would always err on the side of saying you should not do this. It will ultimately do you no good. It will make you feel good for a few minutes or a few hours, but you should find other ways of making your mind work in the realms of happiness. And for Edinburgh Council to stand up and produce a book which tells children as young as 13 how to take drugs is absolutely outrageous.
I agree. It's just
start
stupid.
With half a pill and wait at least 2 hours before redosing.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see what Rachel's opinion of this one is. Because she is the sort of middle ground of sanity to all of us.
Thanks ever so much.
You're very well.
I'm so sorry for you, Rachel.
For only because I'm medicated.
The middle ground girl.
No, she's very, very square-shouldered, is our Rachel.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome again. So this is off to Switzerland, where we, you know, there's nice moo cows walking around and good chocolate and all that sort of stuff. But the Swiss have gone all stroppy. And they've said, no job, on your bike.
Because you haven't got a car.
You know, when I think a lot of people without jobs, like me right now, they ride their bike because they simply can't afford the fuel to put in their car. So I think this is moot, but I don't know. This fish, are they cross because of the holes in the cheese? I'm not really sure what they're talking about. It's just really stupid. Don't you want somebody to be able to get somebody who's like not employed? Be able to get to prospective job interviews, etc., the best way possible, which is usually by car. Don't you want it to be an efficient process for them? I think that's a great idea. I know in Australia they don't care if you've not got a job. They don't care if you die. They don't care if they get all your metadata. But they still give you the money to put petrol in your car if you've got one. I think the Swiss might have lost. I think they're off their holy cheese. I really do.
I don't think
they're
on a roll
Can I just make the point that I think Switzerland has no unemployment anyway?
No, it does. It has very small, sort of 1%, Henry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is elitist of them, because now they want their poor to be carted out in the street on their rickety old bikes so that people could throw rocks at them and kill them, and you know, thereby eradicating the unemployment problem. I think that's really what we're talking about.
The Swiss actually have a very similar attitude to Slovakia and most of the other Eastern European countries, where you don't not work. Here, for example, if you are getting social security money because you're out of work, you are put to work, apart from when you go for interviews, you're put to work by the local authority, be it sweeping up, clearing up, tidying up, whatever. It's all those sort of menial tasks. But you just don't not work. It's just not in the psyche. It just isn't.
You know what?
No, well, it's not in my psyche, but it's terrible. The problem at the moment here for us is the fact that there aren't just there's really declining economies in some of the big cities, like Melbourne, for example, is facing its biggest unemployment in forever. And as case in point, this week alone, I applied for 35-plus jobs. And
Rach, do you want a tip?
No.
Yes, you do. You do.
All right.
And I'll give everybody listening can have this tip. And I can tell you this was a young lady who was from Australia in the UK. She was really struggling to get a job. She wanted to get a job. And I sat down with her and said, what have you been doing? She explained it. I said, right. And she'd been doing these most beautiful letters. They were all lovely, but they were all boring because everybody else does the same thing.
Yeah.
What I then did was I went to a photo, I think it was a photocopying shop in those days, and said to the man, have you got any nice coloured acetate, please? So he looked at me as if I was bonkers, and I said, can you copy this CV onto this bright yellow and bright green acetate? To which he says, yeah. The first interview she got after these were sent out to a couple of hundred people was a bloke who said, I have never seen such a great marketing tool in all my life. I had to give you an interview just to see if you were as good as a CV. Because when you try and screw up acetate and put it in the rubbish bin, what happens?
No.
Sorry?
I don't have a clue.
What?
You don't have a clue?
No.
Have you never tried to screw up a piece of acetate and put it in a rubbish bin?
I don't even know what acetate is.
That thick plastic stuff, Rach.
What thick plastic stuff? The stuff on my windshield?
No. You know when you're doing a presentation with a pretty one of those big projector things?
Oh, God, you're talking about dinosaur technology. God, I don't know what you're talking about. The teachers used to use overhead projectors.
Yeah. Oh, for goodness sake.
I'm thinking the printed CV out in Australia. Anyway, as I was saying, there was one job that I applied for, and the lady at the employment agency told me that there was 300 plus applicants for that one job alone. So I still have to drive where I'm going. I don't want to be penalised for that. If I got an interview Rachel, to drive to, it'd be even better.
Rachel, well, on what you're saying with this Swiss thing and no job and on your bike kind of thing, here in Australia, you have to be able to drive to get a job. And that's the difference.
That's so true. On a lot of the jobs I've applied for, they've said, have you got a current driver's license? Do you have a vehicle?
Exactly.
Mm. Well, anyway, boys and girls,
can't work.
That's basically it. So anyway, we haven't got time to cover Denmark. It's getting very, very warm now because England started selling rubbish to it to furnish all the power. We'd like to congratulate Sir Ian McKellen, who's been given the freedom of the city in London. I'm sure he had a gay day because it was in recognition for his work for gay rights. The Pirate Bay founder has been found guilty of downloading files in Denmark. I hope he likes porridge. We shall now move on to these wonderful Australian scientists. Means we got two Antipodeans with us this week because Australian scientists say they successfully tested a vaccine aimed at protecting wild koalas from chlamydia, of all
things.
It's
a terrible disease that's running rife amongst the koala population, and now they've developed a vaccine that might be able to stop them from getting it, which means they're going to rise in numbers again, which is great because they're almost extinct. No more clap for koalas.
All right.
I can see you holding a big sign up at a protest. No more clap.
No more claps for koalas.
I'm very pleased to report that Russia has agreed to resume gas supplies to the Ukraine over the winter in a deal brokered by the European Union, which means Eric will be as warm as toast this year, which is a very good thing. And I want to know why the Australian banks want to get out of England.
They don't do any business there anymore. There's no point. We've got enough problems here. They need to come back.
You know what it is, Eric? I think the National Australia Bank, the NAB, are making an awful lot of money at home. Obviously, these banks are globalized and they're connected in America and everywhere else, but maybe they're not making the money in the UK anymore, you know?
They're not.
I think that's hit it on the head.
Is it?
On the nail. Whatever you hit it on.
So basically, what you're saying, Lee Banks, is you've taken your account out of the UK again.
Well, I don't wish to discuss that, but it's not far from the truth.
Because not in Switzerland, we promise.
There is a simple way of doing it, and a lot of people don't realise it. If you buy currency and then sell it back with the state of the way the world's currency is at the moment, there are massive profits to be made.
It's just a funny thing.
It's just a funny thing that Australian banks have decided to go home. That's a good place. Australia is a wonderful place.
Listen to it. We've got to go. Time for Henry to get his quick plug in, because where do we normally find you, Henry?
BondiTunes.com.
That was a bit of a poor plug, wasn't it?
Was that? You put your plug in with that?
Yeah, that was his plug.
I don't need to sell it.
The hubris.
Absolutely. Rach, time for you to say goodbye as well.
Goodbye, Rach.
No, you're supposed to say, goodbye, everybody, give me a job.
Give me a job.
Time to say goodbye, Lee.
Goodbye, everybody. If you heard a bit of noise in the background, if Eric was telling you last week the way he stands, sits on a bike in front of the television getting fit, well, I've decided that I'm now doing weightlifting on the radio.
Right. Okay, boys and girls, that's it. That's another postcard from Pop Rat in the bag. Gone. We'll see you again, same time, same place next week. Have a great week till next week. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.